that up until this point, because you got to remember, before this, there was always wars going on, and people were always fighting. But during this Roman domination, one of the things that they did, there was great commerce. And so there were roads that traveled throughout the kingdom to the extreme parts of the kingdom. So that anyone, oh, praise God, anyone that had a message had no problem traveling and sharing it.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Jesus Christ, the Perfect Light. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Jesus Christ, the Perfect Light.
And so there were roads that traveled throughout the kingdom to the extreme parts of the kingdom so that anyone, oh, praise God, anyone that had a message had no problem traveling and sharing that message. That's why we see the disciples being so active as they were spread out with the message of Christ. That's why we see the Apostle Paul going on several missions trips and then finally going to Rome. Why was that? That was because economically the world was probably at the best it had ever been in the fullness. Fullness of time, God sent his son. What about religion? Man, the Jewish people were so beat up and they were so beat down by the Pharisees that had taken the law of God and they had added so many things onto it that when Jesus come, he said unto them, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. People were burdened down with religiosity. They were trying, the Pharisees would have a law, and then they would give you 20 ways to keep that law. And instead of the law of God becoming important, all these other things became more important. And people were burning themselves out, trying to live according to the law. In the fullness of time, Jesus came. At that time, there were synagogues all over Israel where a rabbi could go, and he could go into the synagogue and teach, and people would come to hear him. In the fullness of time. It had never been like this before. And then the one thing that absolutely blows my mind is prophetically. If you go back to Daniel chapter 9 and verses 24 through 27, the prophet Daniel prophesied the time when the Messiah would come and be cut off. And if you go back and calculate, which some people have did, it figures out to the day when Jesus would have been crucified. And so it tells not only the date of his crucifixion, but it alludes to the fact that he would come and he would be born. The perfect Savior came at the perfect time. Oh, we thank God for his wisdom and his knowledge. The second thing that we see about the perfect light is that the perfect light is pure. The perfect light is pure. Look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. The perfect light is pure. And it says here, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God, and Jesus is God, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That he is perfect light. And notice what we say is that when we talk about there's no darkness in him at all, the scripture actually verifies that point. Peter said, he is a lamb without spot or blemish or spot. In 2 Corinthians, Paul said, he knew no sin. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 said, he was tempted in every way that we were, yet he is without sin. That when Jesus was born in that manger, and as he lied there, he was the perfect Son of God. And he didn't inherit a human sinful nature, because David said in Psalm 51, in sin did my mother conceive me. And what he was saying with a sin nature is that when Jesus Christ was born, he was absolutely pure. And then as he walked this life, as I said a couple weeks ago, he did not sin. Jesus never sinned. If Jesus would have sinned, then he's not the pure light. If Jesus had an evil thought, he could not be the pure light. You remember I talked about how Jesus' brothers, now, because we, again, you know, we don't want to follow the way of the error of some that say that Mary only had one son or one child. We know the Bible says that he had brothers and sisters, that Mary and Joseph had other children. So we know that. And so how difficult it must have been growing up in that home, and, you know, all the rest of the kids are getting chastised for doing something wrong, and Jesus didn't do anything wrong. As a matter of fact, when you read the Bible, the only thing that Jesus' parents could really even get on him was the time that they went to the temple to offer sacrifices, and Jesus stayed there, and he was doing what God told him to do. He was doing his father's will, and he was teaching in the temple. And his mother and father were upset, and they went back and they began to look for it. They said, "Son, why did you do this?" So that was the only time that we see from a parental standpoint that his parents ever said anything negative about him. You couldn't, because he was perfect. Why was he a pure light? First of all, to prove that he was God. That if there was any sin in Jesus at all, you know, we stand up here and preach John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How can you preach that Jesus is God if he sinned? He was the pure light. There was no fault in him. There was no deceit. There was no sin in him. And then, if he wasn't perfect, he couldn't substitute for our sins. The Bible says that the lamb that was offered had to be without spot or blemish. And thank God that Jesus Christ is the pure light. The next light that we see is that he's the light that cannot be extinguished. He's the light that cannot be extinguished. John 1 and verse 5. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That word comprehend, Greek word katalambano, means to overtake. Means to, in my mind, you know, since it's football season, right? And you see somebody running for a touchdown. And they break out in the open, and all of a sudden somebody comes out of nowhere and runs them down and tackles them before they make a touchdown. That's what it means, catalambano. It means that Jesus, he caught the ball, and he was out there running. And whoo, and darkness was after him. And darkness was closing in. But it didn't catch him, because he made it to the goal line. The darkness comprehended him not. The darkness could not take him down. Other lights eventually burn out, but the light of Christ cannot be overcome by darkness. It cannot be affected by dark elements such as sin or corruption. And if you think about the history of Christianity, Pilate thought that he had overtaken the light. The Jewish people thought that they had overtaken the light. Judas thought that he had overtaken the light when they nailed Christ up on the cross and they crucified him. They thought they had overtaken the light. But Jesus was what I call a trick candle You seen those trick candles, right? You get a trick candle and you blow it out and it goes out. And then you turn and walk away. And the next thing, it's lit up again. Jesus was a trick candle, right? They thought they blew him out. But he came back. And when he came back, they said, well, we didn't get him, so we're going to get his disciples. And so all 11 of the disciples, because we know Judas betrayed Christ, he committed suicide, all 11, read Fox's Book of Martyrs. They died a martyr's death. I'll say the Apostle John, he died naturally, but they tried to kill him on the island of Patmos when they boiled him in a cauldron of boiling oil. So they tried to do him in, but all the rest of them were martyred. Peter came to the place when they were going to crucify him. According to the legend, it said, Peter said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord and Savior. And they crucified Peter upside down. They tried to kill the disciples to blow out the light. If you study the history of the church was always under persecution. Why? Because they were trying to blow out the light. The darkness tried to overtake the light. When you look at churches today, that there are churches that are saying that Jesus was a good man, he was a good teacher, he was a God, but Jesus was God, the light that could not be overtaken. Amen. I was listening to John and Kathy this week, the ride home, and John was reading an article, and I emailed him. I said, man, I'd like to get a copy of that article. But it was about a movement in our country today that there are churches, I even dropped the term of church. There are assemblies today where people want to get into the spirit of Christmas, but they don't want all the religiosity, they say, of that. And so I believe I have a picture of this group, if you go to that next slide. You know, this is actually one of the worship services where they come and they dress up in the spirit. They don't say Christmas. They're not going to say Christmas. They dress up in the spirit because they miss all the joy and connection and fellowship that all of it brings. And so they want to be in community with other people. And they sing songs like the Grinch Who Stole Christmas. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. Right, they sing other secular songs. They don't sing any carols or any Christmas songs. They sing all secular songs about self and about building up self because they want to celebrate the Christmas spirit, but they don't want to put Christ in Christmas. What are they trying to do? They're trying to what? Overtake the light. But perhaps for me, the greatest testimony is a man named William Raymond Glaze, who grew up in North Braddock and got into all type of wickedness and all type of sin and was on my way to hell, headed on the road with no return. And darkness was all over my life. I remember the night before I gave my life to Christ, I had got so high, and I said to myself, when I came down, man, there's got to be something better than this, because you get high, and you just got to turn back around, and you got to get high again. And darkness was all around me, and I was just weighted and burdened down in darkness. And the next night, I went to church with Pastor Berkeley, heard the gospel preached, gave my heart to Jesus Christ, and my whole world lit up. The darkness. Amen. The darkness cannot overcome the light. And I tell people the night that I got saved that I went out, and it was thundering and lightning. I mean, it was raining. And I went out, and it just seemed like my whole world was just light, just lit up. And I, you know, not years later did I find out why that was. I mean, just my whole world just lit up in the midst of a storm. And years later, as I was studying, God revealed to me what happened that night. That all those years, I had carried around the burden of sin and darkness all my life. And that night when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, that God lifted off of me all that sin, and he placed it on cross and said to me that you are forgiven, that you are forgiven. And he took that burden and lightened my load. Now, I hasten to say this because people will say, you know, they want to take Pastor Glazer's experience and put it in a book, right, and say this is the model. This is the way everybody got to do it. No, no, no. I don't know how. You may come to Christ and you have no bells and whistles at all, right? I mean, and you got just as much saved on the day that you accepted Christ as I did when I accepted Christ, right? I'm just giving to you how I had to come. You know, so it don't make any difference how you come. Some say some through the fire and some through the flood and some through the water, but all must come through the blood. All must come through the blood. No matter how you come, you got to come through the blood. The pure light that Jesus, he cannot be extinguished. He cannot be put out. The next thing we see is he is a light that points out dirt. He is the light that points out dirt. John 3, 19 and 20. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every man that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. There's one thing that we know about light, that if your house is dark, you can't tell how dirty your crib is. That's why you go to some people's house, man, they keep the shades down. No. Right? You ever open up your blinds and see the sun beaming in? And all of a sudden you see these particles floating around? What is that? That's dirt, man. That's dust. That's dirt. I went to somebody's house one time and the little kid said, Pastor, let me show you my pet. And they brought out a dust mite. A good light points out the dirt. And Jesus came into the world to point out the areas where our lives are dirty. And you know, when people, as he said here, when people love darkness, then they don't want to come to the light. When you have sin issues in your life and you are caught up in your sin and you are enjoying your sin, you don't want to come to the place where the light is shining, because it causes you to have to start to squint, and it causes you to have to address your issue when the light is shining on your issue. Any good light exposes dirt. The brighter the light, the more the dirt is seen. Likewise, Jesus is the brightest light, and he exposes the dirt, the evil of human beings. And you know, I believe that some people don't come to Jesus, as it says here, because they love their sin. That in their life, Jesus died for them, rose again, wants to save them, but he remains unused. I thought this was interesting. I tried to bring in some Christmas stuff, you know, lighten it up a little bit between this heavy theology. We have a lot of heavy theology going on this morning. So, you know, I try to lighten it up a little bit, right? So, did you know for those of you, including me, I'm raising my hand, that will give gift cards for Christmas this year, 39.2% of people who purchase gifts will give gift cards for their family and friends from department stores. 39.2. 33.4% of people who buy a gift for their family or friends will buy a gift card to a restaurant. 39% for department stores, 33% for restaurants. Now, out of that, the average home has $300 worth of gift cards that are unused or unredeemed. See, the person that said where, somebody just now said where, right? So that means if it wasn't for you, it would even be higher, right? If it wasn't for you, it would even be higher, right? Because there's some people say, I get every penny of that gift card, right? But now, between 2005 and 2011, $41 billion in gift cards went unused. $41 billion. Now somebody say, how you figure that out, right? Well, the people know how many gift cards they sold. They know how much they sold, and they know how much it was redeemed. So $41 billion. And so I look at, you say, well, how does this relate to what you're talking about? You look at Jesus Christ and what he has done for every individual. And that he wants to save you so that you'll have an eternal life and that you'll have an abundant life. And yet and still, because people love darkness in their life, what Christ did is unused. It's unredeemed. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? There are people who are living their lives, and they can be living their lives to the full. They can be living their lives with the joy of the Lord, and they're not, because the dirt in their life is keeping them from coming to Jesus Christ. That Christ points out the dirt in your life. And then the last thing that I want to share is that the perfect light is the light of the world. The perfect light is the light of the world. Then Jesus spake again unto them. John chapter 8 and verse 12. John 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world. There are many lights in the world, but there's only one perfect light, and that is Jesus Christ. And so I conclude by saying this, that when it says that he's the light of the world, it means that he's a spiritual light, as we just got finished talking about on the previous point, exposing the deeds of sin and shining on the way of righteousness. And that he's a life-giving light, that he gives abundant and eternal life. There's a clip that we show every year, and as we think about the perfect light, you know, I think about what, okay, clip is not ready. So you got it back there? All right, that's cool. So Jesus is the perfect light.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Jesus Christ, the Perfect Light, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Jesus Christ, the Perfect Light. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Jesus Christ, the Perfect Light, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.